Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Job chapter 38. Job 38. We were going to do this class on Saturday mornings, and I got thinking it's been since 2006, so it's been 14 years since we've really covered. I mean, we mentioned music at times, but since we've really covered the subject, and I began to think some of our young people weren't even born 14 years ago, and others were so young 14 years ago they probably don't remember much about the series on music. So I decided it'd be better to do this class, at least part of it, on Sunday nights, where we could all refresh our memory about music. Job 38, and Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. As I mentioned, I'm not sure we'll get into the Bible course part of it tonight that's been handed out to you, but I just wanted that so you can begin to work through it, and it's possible we might get into a little bit of it, but I'm not sure. But Job 38, what we're looking at right now is, when is the first mention of music in the Scripture? Where did it all start? Well, Job 38, and remember, the book of Job is a very early book, even though... Well, it's like this. The books in the Old Testament and the New Testament are placed in sections, like you would do a library. I doubt you have a library at home where your books are in the order in which the date, by date, that they were written. Normally in a library, you put your books in sections, like I have books in my library on music all together. Some of those books may have been written in 1950. Some may have been written in 1980. But they're all in one section because they all deal with music. And the reason the book of Job is by Psalms and Proverbs is because they're considered, well, what they're called is books of poetry, although the book of Job is not poetic in that sense. I mean, it's not written like a poem. But it's just in that classification. But the reason the book of Job is thought to be a very early book in the Old Testament is because Job offers sacrifices for his own children. So we know it's before there was any priestly setup. So, you know, it's before, you know, the tabernacle and all of the sacrifices there and the Levites being the priest. So this book has to predate all of that because of Job offering sacrifices for his own children. So you may say, well, the first mention of music, there's mention of music before the book of Job. Well, there is mention of music in Exodus, but as I said, that's why this book is thought to be one of the earliest books in the Old Testament. Okay. So let's read in Job 38, verse 1. Job 38, 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, what? Sang together. And all the sons of God, what? Shouted for joy." So this really is the first mention when the morning stars sang together. When God said when he was creating the earth, the morning stars sang together. This is the first mention of music and of singing then, because this was during the time of creation. Well, when were the stars created? Let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1 and verse 14. What we find here is that the stars were created on day 4 of creation. Day 4. Verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made what? The stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were what? The fourth day. So God made the stars, the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. Now, when did God create man? Well, God didn't create man until the sixth day of creation. 2 days later was when he created man. Look at verse 26, Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So he goes down in verse 31. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were what? The sixth day. So God created the sun, moon, and stars on what day? Day 4. And what day did he create man? Day 6. So the last day of creation, he created man. He rested on the seventh day. So the sun, moon, and stars were created 2 days before man. So in the book of Job, when the stars were singing together, when God was doing these different acts of creation, man wasn't even created yet at that point. So there was music in this universe before man was even here. So, and as we saw this morning, Satan will counterfeit every good thing, and he'll make it look really close, but there will always be something evil in Satan's counterfeit. And the same it is with music. The sons of God sang together, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. But notice with me in Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. So we need God's help in this matter of music. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So this is certainly true of music. It's more than our flesh can handle. I was in many years ago, there was a youth group called Word of Life, and they had competitions, and I was sitting, and they asked me to be a judge of the preacher boys in the competition. I think it was normally like a 2-day competition. Maybe that part was just one day. I'm not sure. But so I was sitting in the back of the auditorium. They just kind of had like opening exercises, kind of like we have it Sunday mornings for Sunday school. You know, we all meet in here, and then we go to our classes. Well, they kind of had like that. They were having a big meeting of all the young people, and then they were going to divide up into all the different places of competition. And they were advertising the next year there was going to be a great big Word of Life gathering at Niagara Falls. And so they were trying to really build up the young people to look forward to next year at Niagara Falls. And so they had Word of Life groups. Up on a screen. And they had Word of Life groups from all kinds of countries, all over the world. And, of course, they were singing in their native tongue, you know, whether it was Japanese or just, I forget, there was many different samplings. And they're all going to meet in Niagara Falls. And so really building it up. The last group they showed on the screen was the group from America, singing obviously in English. But I was sitting at the back of the auditorium through all of these excerpts. And of course, we couldn't understand the language the Japanese were singing, but we knew the tune. So we knew what hymn it was. The American group was the only group to sing a contemporary song. And I was just amazed sitting there. As soon as the American group started singing their song, at the back of the auditorium, I'm watching all these young people suddenly do this. And I thought, now that is interesting. They didn't do that to any other Word of Life group from across the world. They only started swaying to the American group, the contemporary sound. I think the problem is we don't realize the weakness of our own flesh. I have watched this with our little children when they were too young to know any better. In the grocery cart, we'd go to Meijer's and have them in the grocery cart sitting in it, and some song would start playing over the intercom there at Meijer's, and I'd watch our little kids start to sway. I mean, they don't know anything. They're just starting to sway to the music. What is it? The issue is this. Contemporary Christianity tries to say that music is neutral. That music, and we're talking about the sound now. They say the only thing important is the words, and that the sound is neutral. It doesn't matter. So, in other words, if they're just saying music, the sound is just like a pipe. You know, it could be like in the old days, cast iron pipe. You move up to a little newer, maybe in the 60s, and you'll start seeing plastic, PVC pipe, sewer pipe in your home. If you go down in your home and there's black pipe and it's iron, you'll know that's back from a ways, quite a few years back. It's cast iron. If it's white or yellowish plastic, you'll know it's a little newer. But, you know, water can flow through cast iron. Water can flow through plastic. Water can flow through copper. I don't know, they have newer materials, different even than PVC. It's a PEX pipe. It's more flexible than PVC, very tough. And a lot of new houses, they're forgetting the copper, and now it's just going to PEX piping. But musical notes are not neutral like a pipe. You can put sewer water through a pipe, or you can put drinkable water through a pipe. But with music, the pipe matters. It's not neutral. It's like the alphabet. The letters of the alphabet are only neutral when they stand alone. If I spell with separate letters G, O, O, D, what have I spelled? Good. Okay. But now I'm going to spell another word. B, A, D. What have I spelled? Bad. So letters are only neutral when they stand alone. It's the same way with music. You can play a B, or a B flat, or a C, or a D, or an E, or an F. And as long as they stand alone, they are neutral. But as soon as you put those notes together, they're not neutral. Now, if you don't really know what you're doing, once you put them together, it's just confusion, is what it is. But if you do know what you're doing, you can play a nice melody or a very sensuous piece. You can play a happy piece or a sad piece. So the only people in the world really that are saying the musical notes are neutral is contemporary Christianity. The world doesn't say it because the world knows musical notes are not neutral. That is why, still to this day, when they make films, they still put a musical score to it. You know, if they have a train coming down the track and a car is stuck on the track and the car is stalled and someone is trying to start it, and then they'll show the train coming. And they'll show back in the car, trying to start the car, getting frantic. What kind of music are they going to be playing there? Some gentle lullaby? No. They're going to be playing music that has you on the edge of your seat. They're going to be playing music that has tension in it. And it's going to get going faster and faster and faster. Just like the train is coming closer and closer and closer. Music is not neutral. I mean, these makers of films are paying someone, no doubt, thousands of dollars to pick just the right music. And if they pick the wrong music, it's going to totally wreck the scene. I mean, if they're just playing casual, slow, gentle music, you're not worried. You're going to know the car is going to start and they're going to pull away. But if they're playing music that's like kindling and sparks to it, you're feeling the danger. You're wondering how it's going to end. So musical notes are not neutral. Those of you who have been in construction, you know, a board or a pipe may be a standard length. But once you cut it, it's either now too short, or it's exactly right, or it's too long. It's either going to work for what you need, or you're going to have to go back and cut it again a little bit off, or it's too short and you're going to have to totally cast it aside for that particular use. The same with music. The length of the notes, the emphasis of the notes. In our music, notice your hymn book here for just a moment. Let's just turn to the first hymn. Oh, Worship the King, number one. And you notice there's just one note there. And then in the next, and well, actually before that, look, it says 3-4, right in the top line where the notes are. It says 3-4, that's 3-4 timing. And so you're getting one beat, and then there's a vertical line. And then there's three more notes. So 3-4 timing, there's three notes in that measure right there. The first note of every measure, you should be coming down. In other words, that's the emphasis on the beat. So when you were leading, if you were leading that song right there, the song leader has his hand up, and for that first beat, he's got to go up. Because you don't want the emphasis on O. So it's O, worship the King. So in all of our music, that's what we need to do, is emphasize the first beat of the measure. Rock music emphasizes the second and the fourth. Now, this is 3-4 timing. Rock music is traditionally in 4-4, like the next song, number 2. You'll see that's 4-4 timing, Love Divine, and there's four beats in that first measure. You want to emphasize that first beat and then a lesser emphasis on the third. Rock music always emphasizes the second and the fourth beat, which gives you that swing to it. You really, just like I watch those young people in that Word of Life, I don't even think probably a lot of them even knew what they were doing. I think it was just a reaction. I had the same thing in Haiti. The guys, Brother Wall wanted me to speak on music, and so I began to speak on music, and I wanted to show them what the wrong beats do, because the Haitian people very easily get into fleshly music, carnal music. And so I think I had him sing Power in the Blood, which is 4/4 timing. And so I would clap the first beat, and nobody's doing anything. And I said, now I'm going to show you what the wrong beat is. And so then I started clapping on beats 2 and 4. And you know what happened? Immediately some of the Haitian pastors started clapping right with me. It was instantaneous. Their flesh got into it. They were clapping those off beats. And it's just something. Well, notice with me in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he what? Standeth, take heed lest he what? Fall. So, let's see, did we read Matthew 26:41? Okay, let's go there. Matthew 26:41. So we need to take heed lest we fall. So, you know, this matter of music is something you might not know anything about music. And you might say, well, I don't know anything about music, but I do know when there's a beat to it that it's not right. Well, that's what it is. It's that off beat. It's not a beat on number one. It's 2 and 4. But Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into what? Temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And that is true for every one of us. Every one of us. Our flesh is weak. And if we think we are strong, the Bible says, take heed lest we fall. So music is one of those areas. You know, Satan, for the most part, has like conquered the world in music. I mean, I don't know of any Christian radio station that doesn't play music with the rock beat. I don't know of one. If you know of one, this morning some of you had seen chocolate crosses in the store. So maybe you know of a radio station that actually does play gospel music that doesn't have the rock beat in it. Let me know. But I don't know of any. I don't know of one anymore. Not one. There used to be, but I don't know of one anymore. Years ago, when I was just a boy, I went to a First Baptist Church in Cedar Springs, and they had an evangelist in there that was preaching against rock music and encouraging all the young people to go home and break their records. Well, I didn't stand up that I would break my records, because we didn't have any records. But there was a lot of young people that did. They said they would go home and break all their rock records. Well, our pastor at that time, agreed wholeheartedly with that. But later on, many, many, fast forward many, many, many years later, I was in his study. He wanted to talk to me. And you know what was playing on his radio in his study? The exact same beat that evangelist had preached at us about when I was a boy. Only the only difference was, on the radio in his study, it had Christian words. But it was the exact same rock beat that evangelist had tried to tell us was evil. And it is evil. But I'm saying that is how all of us need to be humble. Because you know what? Any one of us can fall to it. It's music that our flesh will love. So, do we, you know, I've always said we can never in life give the flesh a vote, because it'll always choose wrong. We have to give the spiritual side of us a vote. So we can't follow the flesh. But Satan is an expert in music. And don't underestimate him. Notice in Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. You know, if we, in church, if we start playing that kind of music, so we're trying to exhort ourselves and our young people to not fall into immorality. But if we start playing music with that beat in the church, it's like we're saying one thing, but what we are playing is trying to entice the flesh to fall. It's creating a war inside. But Isaiah 14, verse 9. The Bible says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of what? Thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O who? Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to where? To hell, to the sides of the pit." Interesting. In verse 11, music is mentioned, the noise of thy vials. And then his name. Lucifer was not created as a Satan. Lucifer means bright one, shining one. Lucifer is a cherub angel who has fallen, who is now called Satan, devil, and other names befitting of what he is like now. But so here's what he has created, and music is mentioned in this, vials. Now let's fast forward to Ezekiel 28, which references the wicked king of Tyrus and the evil power behind him. Ezekiel 28:12. Ezekiel 28:12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of what? Thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed what? Cherub that covereth." And we don't have time right now, but if you look in Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10, you'll find the cherub angel has four heads, four wings, and is like a living chariot carrying around God's throne and his presence above the cherub. Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Satan, Lucifer, is a fallen cherub, now called Satan and devil. And it mentions there in verse 13, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes. Well, what does that mean? Thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You know, does Lucifer have a system of pipes, you know, plumbing pipes, exhaust pipes? What is this talking about? Well, let's look in 1 Kings 1. 1 Kings 1. How does the Bible use that terminology? 1 Kings 1, excuse me, in verse 39. 1 Kings 1 and verse 39. The Bible says, "And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew what? The trumpet. And all the people said, 'God save King Solomon.' And all the people came up after him, and the people," what? "Piped with" what? "Pipes. And rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them." The Bible uses this terminology of pipes in regard to musical instruments. It says the people piped with pipes. And so when it talks about Satan in Ezekiel 28:13, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes," we're talking about music. We are talking about Satan. Lucifer would be an expert in music. "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes." So, and here in this passage, the people piped with pipes. So, you know, the instruments here, what would we consider like a pipe instrument? Well, like the flute standing there. The clarinet would be a sort of pipe. Probably the flute would be more what we're thinking of, about a literal just pipe, no taper to it like the clarinet has. So people were using instruments like that. And we know Satan, Lucifer, was an expert musician. So when Lucifer fell into sin, him being an expert in music, it's no wonder music. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Is it any wonder that things that go through the airwaves are corrupted so quickly? I mean, radio was a marvelous invention, wasn't it? But what is it now? For the most part, it just has the devil's music going through the air. The television was a marvelous invention. Talk about an invention that could get the gospel around the world. But for the most part, television is just corruption. And so the same with music. It's a marvelous thing and can be used for the glory of God. But in our day, so much it's used for corruption. Well, okay, so the first music mentions when the sons of God sang, or the stars of God sang. So, and here we're looking at Satan, Lucifer, a cherub angel with these tabrets and pipes, musical instruments. So, but we still haven't seen anything about man using music. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Now, knowing that Satan fell because of his pride, and he enticed Adam and Eve, Eve in particular, but they both sinned, it's no wonder that the first mention of music comes in the ungodly line. Now, please don't get me wrong. Music, we see music in the book of Revelation glorifying God, so please don't take me wrong. I am not saying that music is wrong or evil and that we should do away with it. I'm not saying that at all. We should praise the Lord with music, but the right kind of music. And we'll get more into that, but I don't want you to misunderstand me. But I do want you to see why music, for the most part in the world, is corrupt. We're tracing the line of it here. Genesis 4:13. "And Cain said unto the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.'" So this is the line of Canaan. Verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch were born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Have you ever wondered why these names are always shown twice? You know, all these hard names to pronounce. Have you ever thought why they're always listed twice? It's so we'll work on our pronunciation. Okay, that's why. So, verse 19, and Lamech took on him, what? Two wives. This is the first recorded instance in Scripture where a man took more than one wife. Lamech took him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle what? The harp and organ. Now, normally, rock music isn't associated, bad music isn't associated with a harp and organ. But let's go on, verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in what? Brass and iron. So you're already thinking music. So now, this is the instructor in brass and iron. I don't know offhand of iron musical instruments. They'd be pretty hard to lift. But brass is used in a lot of instruments, brass instruments. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Lamech becomes the second man in history to kill another person. So in Lamech's line is the first mention of music with mankind. Right between he took two wives and he killed a man. It's in the line of Cain and specifically in the line of Lamech. Mentioned right between two wives killing a man. So it's in that line. And so I'm not saying that to say that all music is evil. What I'm saying is that we better be mighty careful because it seems like music proliferated in that line. And so we're going to have to be extra cautious about our music. Because we know Satan is so subtle. Now, if you look in chapter 3 and verse 1, what kind of animal did Satan choose when he was going to deceive Eve? Genesis 3:1, now the what? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That's what Satan used. And look with me in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Thinking about how crafty and subtle Satan is. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through what? His subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. We see Satan, this master musician. We see in Cain's line and right in Lamech between two things that he did, we find the mention of music. So we are going to have to be on our guard. There is nothing wrong with music. The stars sang together when God was creating the world. Music is good and great if it is the right music. And if it's the wrong music, it'll lead us down the line of Lamech, is what it will do. Oftentimes, those tunes, your flesh finds to be catchy little tunes, are those subtle tunes that have the wrong beats to them. Those little catchy things. You say, boy, that song really has life to it. Better be cautious. It might be your flesh that's saying, I like that tune. That's a catchy little tune. That really has life to it. Maybe it does. And maybe it's really your flesh liking that offbeat. So we need to be careful. So we're out of time, but I just want us to be very prayerful as we go through this. It doesn't matter what kind of music we were raised listening to or what kind of music we are subjected to at work or wherever we may be. What we need to be careful of is that music, just like those young people I sat in the back. I mean, these young people were supposed to be the cream of the crop. I mean, I was there to judge these preacher boys, just young boys preaching their heart out. They were supposed to be spiritual, but I saw what their flesh did. And you know what? No matter how spiritual you or I may be, if we are not careful, the subtlety of the wrong music will conquer us. It will bring us down. And this is so important. Because the thing about music, when God wanted Moses to teach the children of Israel something they wouldn't forget, what did God tell Moses to do? Teach them a song. Why do you think they teach little children the alphabet song? Because they'll remember it more. Because it has a tune to it. And music, the word music comes from musing. Musing is dwelling upon something. You know how it is. When you hear a song, it's hard to get it out of your mind, isn't it? That tune. It's hard to get it out of your mind. So as Christians, we need to be so cautious in music. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, who came through a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And Lord, we need that living power in our lives to guide us in the matter of music. Music can be so deceiving, so subtle. And then that tune then can go over and over and over in our minds. Lord, please help us. Help us not to think that we are immune to falling to it. Lord, please help us in Jesus' name.